Today Shiz Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Dalid. We will begin on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel on the base, 10 lines from the bottom. At the end of our previous year, the Gemara introduced a new malacha that we haven't really discussed at length in our Masechta yet, and that's the malacha of Mechamer. It teaches us the Gemara, Amar Rami B'Mechama, HaMechamach B'Hentai, if somebody causes animal to move on Shabbos, Shagi Chayv Chattis, if he did it b'shogig, he's chayiv chattis, b'mezit, he's chayiv skila. In other words, the Gemara is teaching us that it's a full-fledged chil Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, my tama, from where did Rami Bechama teach us this din? Amar Ravad, Amar Kra, the Torah says, lo sasa kamalocha ato behemtecha. So we learn from here, behemtai dumi the day. We compare your animal to you. Mahu, just like if you did a malocha on Shabbos, b'shogig, Yechayiv chattis, v'mezid yechayiv skila. Af behem toinami, if your animal did a malacha on Shabbos, the halacha is b'shog yechayiv chattis, v'mezid chayiv skila. It's considered a full-fledged malacha. So ask the Ramban, if according to Rami Bachama, Mechamer is a full-fledged malacha, so why isn't that mentioned with all the other malachas? So according to the opinions that we're going to learn soon, that mechamer, you're not chayiv, the same punishment as you are by the other malachas. So we could understand why it's not mentioned together with all the other malachas. However, if we hold like the opinion of Rami that Rami Bachama just said that it's considered a full fledged malacha, so why isn't it mentioned together with all the other malachas? So the Ramban answers that even if we'll say the Mechamer comes with all of the same halachas, same einish, as all other malachas, it's unique that in all other malachas, the malacha you do, you're doing together all by yourself. Whereas Mechamer, you're only over the malacha because your animal did something, because you guided the animal to do it. So since it's not a malacha that you do by yourself, that's why it's not considered a full-fledged malacha. But what we do find very interesting here, and all the mefarshim make this point, is that mechamer, all that you've done is you've just raised your voice. And by raising your voice and doing anything that will cause the animal to move, you're over mechamer. So says the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Reis Samach Vav Sif Katan Yud, quoting the Prima Gadim, that you have to be careful. In that world, I guess, it was more common than in our world, that if you're standing outside on Shabbos and you raise your voice, and because you raise your voice, the animal is going to begin to move, then you're over the Isser Mechamer. And in fact, I saw that the Sefer Cheshukei Chemed says that a malacha that's done through your voice is as much as a malacha that's done through your hand. He discusses an interesting shaila. He discusses if somebody has a telephone, a pre-programmed telephone, that if you say the name of a person, the telephone recognizes that command and will call that number. So let's say on Shabbos, somebody's in a situation where, of course, it's not something that you're allowed to do unless there's a real need. But on Shabbos, there's a situation where you have to make a very important phone call, somebody's sick or whatever, and you could call by dialing, or you could call by just raising your voice. So he says that it doesn't make a difference which way you're going to have the telephone dialed, because if you cause the telephone to dial by your voice, it's no different than you actually press the buttons. Because what we're learning from the malacha of Mechamer is that raising your voice is considered a malacha all the same. Amar Rava. Rava says, I have two questions on what you just told me, that Mechamer is considered a full-fledged malacha, with all of the halachas of malacha applied to them. Chei Tshuvas B'Dava. Chada, the Ksiv, when the Torah teaches us the din of being chayiv for doing an aver b'shagig, as we've learned previously, we learn it from Avodah Zarah. The Torah says, "Torah achas yilachem lois b'shkaga va'nefesh shetasa b'yad Roma." So we see from there, Hoksha Kol HaTorah Kul Avodah Zarah. The Torah compares all Averis to Avodah Zarah, from what Avodah Zarah becomes the model for where you chayiv chatas for doing an Avera b'shogeg. Ma Avodah Zarah, just like by Avodah Zarah, you're not chayiv a kam chatas. Add the Ovid, David Maisa Begufe, you did the Maisa by yourself. That's, you did an actual Maisa, that's when you chayiv for Avodah Zarah. Hachanami, so too by Shabbos, to be chayiv a kam chatas for being mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, it has to be David Maisa Begufe, that he actually physically did a malacha. Void, and another question. Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos, in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Vav Amen Aleph. HaMechalos HaShabbos, if some Rechman's son is Mechalos Shabbos, he gets Skila, but he only gets Skila, B'dovah Shechayover Al Shigogos Echatos, where if you did it B'Shogig, you'd be Chayiv Chatos, and if you did it B'Mezid, you'd be Skila. So from here we see that there must be, Dikamidi, there must be some Melacha that's done in Shabbos, some Isha Shabbos, they chayovim al shigigosei chatas, v'loi al zdoin eskiloi, that there must be a case where that isn't that case, where there isn't the halacha. What isn't that? Isn't it seemingly mechamer? Like Rava just said, that since mechamer doesn't involve your actual maisa, if there's going to be a malacha that we should say doesn't have the din of all other malachas, it makes most sense to say it's mechamer. Says the Gemara in Loi. That's not what that Mishnah is referring to. Mechamer could be indeed chayiv chatas and chayiv skila. It's either tchumim, v'libe de Rabbi Akiva. It's either tchumim, according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the iser tchum is an iser deraisa, or havara, as we learned earlier in our Masechta. The Torah says, the Torah singles out the malacha of making a fire in Shabbos. And we discussed on Daf Ayin, why did this Torah single out this malacha from all other malachas? And Rabbi Yossi came to teach us that Havara, there is no Chiv Karis, there's no Chiv Skila, there's only a Chiv Malkus. And that's what that Mishnah is coming to talk about. But Mechamer could be a regular malacha. So Rashi says, as we just explained, because Rabbi Akiva's demand of Amma holds that Tchumim is Issa Deraisa. Ask the Ramban, the machloikas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim, if Tchumim is Issa Deraisa and that, is only by the din of Tchum, we're going to discuss it in Mitzvah Shem Sunim, Masecht Ervin, the din of Tchum of 2,000 Amma. Because there's a machloikas between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachomim, how to understand the Pasuk, that the Torah says, first the Torah says, "Umigrashi ha'orim asher titnu le'leviyim mikira ir v'chutz lo elaf amasaviv," and then the pasuk, the next pasuk says, "Umadoyse mechutz le'ir as pas kedma alpayim amma." One pasuk says 1,000 amma, and one pasuk says 2,000 amma. So Rekiva explains that the pasuk that says 1,000 amma is to tell us that the area around the city, the 1,000 amma around the city, belonged to the Levim. The pasuk that speaks about the 2,000 amma, says Rabbi Akiva, is coming to teach us that there's a din of Tchum Shabbos of 2,000 amma. Rabbi Lazar Yossi says a different explanation. He says, we give the Levim the entire 2,000 amma around the city. We have this difficulty. One pasuk says 1,000 amma, and one pasuk says 2,000 amma. So he said, they say that the pasuk means to explain as follows: the 1,000 amma around the city is left empty, and the other 1,000 amma is where you could plant trees and gardens, but it's nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. So yes, as we just indicated, asked the Ramban, Rabbi Akiva holds that this din of Tchum Shabbos of 2,000 Amma is a din d'oraisa. The Rabbanon don't explain the Pasuk that way, and they don't hold that it's 2,000 Amma. But everybody agrees that Yud Beis Mil is a Tchum d'oraisa. So why are we limiting, asked Ramban, to say that Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds Tchum is d'oraisa? We could say it's even going according to the Rabbanon, and it's talking about the Tchum of Yud Beis Mil, which even the Rabbanon agree is a Doraisa. So the Chasam Sofer answers that when we learn that Mishnah Masechta Avodah Zarah, we'll see that we have to explain that that Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And because Rabbi Akiva holds that Yechayiv even when there is no Maisa. And just this is an exception. So once we anyway have to explain that Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva, we explain it that way. So we just quoted the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that we learned earlier in our Masechta as well, that on Havara, there's no chiv karis in Skila. Says the Or Sameach, a very bechidish. He says that indeed, if somebody does Havara on Shabbos b'mezid, without Eidim v'Asra, b'mezid, where normally, if somebody's Mechal Shabbos that way, he's Mechayiv karis, by Havara there wouldn't be a chiv karis. But he says, even though Rabbi Yossi is excluding a chiv karis from Havara, there still will be a chiv skila. Because he explains, the Torah says that Havara is not considered a regular malacha. And where did the Torah says, regarding malacha on Shabbos, kala oisa malacha v'nichrasa. So since Havara is not considered a full-fledged malacha, there is no chiv karis. And if there's no chiv karis, as we learned many times in Shas, the chiv karis and the chiv karmen chatos travel together. But regarding skila, the Torah uses different words, says Dor Sameach. The Torah says, mechalalel mois yumas. It has to do with chil Shabbos. And havara, of course, if somebody makes a fire in Shabbos, he was certainly mechalal Shabbos. And therefore, says Dor Sameach, if he's mechalal Shabbos, even with havara, but there were eidim v'asra, the chi of skila would remain. A very big chiddush. Says the Gemara, Razvid masni hachi. Rav Zvid had a different version of learning Rami Bachama. Amar Rami Bachama, Hamachamer Acha Behem B'Shabbos, somebody who leads his animal in Shabbos, B'Shoigig Ein Chayiv Chatas, he's not going to be Chayiv Chatas B'Shoigig, because as we just learned, the model for Chayiv Chatas is Avodah Zarah. And by Avodah Zarah, you did a Maisa, but Mechama, you didn't do a Maisa. Mezid, you Chayiv Skila. Because the Torah, when it speaks about Shabbos, Leisas Kamalacha, Atu Behemtecha, so the Torah connects you to your animal. So if you're going to do a Malacha through your animal, you're going to be Mechayiv, Karis, and Skila. Masav Rava asks Rava on that, Hamachalos Shabbos, it says in the Mishnah, in Sedrin, Hamachalos Shabbos, B'dovish Chayavim al Shigar Soichatis, Chayavim al Zodonis Skila. So says Rava, doesn't that Mishnah come to teach us that they travel together? If it will be an aveira for which there is no chiv chatas, ein chayovin as doina skila. So if you just said that there's no chiv chatas for mechamer, there can't be chiv skila for mechamer. Answers the Gemara: Mik tani ein chayovin. Did the Mishnah indeed connect them? Hachi kamer. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. If you did an Avera, which you chayv chattis, if you did that Avera b'shoyig, certainly, chayov and al-zodonik skila, if you did it b'meza with Eidim Nasra, you'd be chayv skila. And then, the yesh dover, we need to understand the Mishnah teaching us, that there are Averas, she'en chayov and al-shigosay chattis, then indeed you will not be chayv chattis if you did those Averas b'shoyig, but v'chayovin as a doin skila. If you did the aver b'meizu with Eidim v'nasra, you be chayiv skila. Or my nihu, and what is that? Mechamer. So there's no indication from that Mishnah that there's no chayiv skila in that case. Says the Gemara in continuing discussing the melacha mechamer and Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Revua achva de Ravi Ramari Barachel. Revua was the brother Mari Barachel. V'amrile, and some say he was avua the Ramari Barachel. Throughout Shas, we encounter Mari Barachel. Mari Barachel, very uncommon. He was called by his mother's name, Mari Barachel. He wasn't called by his father's name. And the reason, the Gemara, we always explain why he was called by his mother's name and not by his father's name. His mother was Rachel. Rachel was the daughter of Shmuel, who was kidnapped by a non-Jewish individual. His name was Isser. Isser, who had relations with her. And then ultimately, Isser became a ger. throughout Shas, he's called Isser Giyura, Isser, the individual who became a ger. But it turns out that Mari was conceived when his father wasn't Jewish. His father only became Jewish later. And because he was conceived when his father wasn't Jewish, throughout Shas, he's not called by his father's name. Rather, he's called by his mother's name, Mari bar Rochel. So the Gemara has two versions who Rava was to Mari bar Rochel. One version is the Rava was Mari bar Rochel's brother. Ostensibly, he was already conceived after Isser converted. But the other version has that Rava was Mari bar Rochel's father. I don't understand then why wasn't he Mari called by his father's name, but the Gemara is saying that Mari bar Rochel was Rava's father. But ask the Gemara, we know that the halacha is that Mari, that a ger can't be appointed to a position of sorora, to a position of authority in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Masechet Yevamos, Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, tells us the Rav allowed Rav Mari bar Rochel to be appointed as an officer. So if we'll say, ask the Gemara, Lelish de Basra, but if we'll say that Mari bar Rochel was a ger, so we understand why he needed to have, and why the Gemara discusses why it was permissible that he should be appointed to a position of authority. But if he was the son of Rava, so he was a full-fledged Jew. So why did he need a special discussion if he could be appointed to a position of authority? Ask the Gemara, Lishna Basra, according to the second version, that he was Rav's son, Kasha, the Rav Achshur Lamar Barachel, why Rav had to go out of his way to allow Mari bar Rochel to be appointed as an officer, or Manya a person of the Bavel. He was a full-fledged Jew. Answers the Gemara, Dilma, Trey Mari bar Rochel Hava. There were two Mari bar Rochels. One was a ger, and for him, the Gemara Masechta Yevamos discusses why he was allowed to be appointed to this position. And the other was a full-fledged Jew. He was the son of Rava. So says the Gemara, whoever it should not be, have a Masnal HaShematzah, Rava taught this Gemara, Rava, who we just mentioned, taught this Gemara, Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan Liftor. He says that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that we're lenient. And we learn as follows. Om Rabbi Yochanan, HaMachama Achah Behemta B'Shabbos, somebody who leads his animal on Shabbos, Pot Meklum, he's not Chayiv any Einish. B'Shogig Loi Mechayiv Chattas, if he did it B'Shogig, he's not Chayiv Chattas, for as we have been discussing. Dok Shekol HaTayr Kula Avodah Zarah, we always compare it to Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is the model for when you Chayiv Chattas for doing an Aveira B'Shogig. The Aveira Avodah Zarah is done with a Maisa, and here there's no Maisa. B'Mezit Nami Loi Mechayiv, you're not Chayiv B'Mezit Skila, the Tanan, because the Mishnah teaches us in Masechet Sanhedrin, so he learns if there's no chatas, he learns like the Gemara wanted to learn earlier that the chiyuv skila and the chiyuv chatas travel together. And if as we just learned, there is no chiyuv chatas on mechamer, there therefore will not be a chiyuv skila either. As continues Rav in the name of Rav Yochanan, Belav Nami Loi Mechayiv. Even though, as we've quoted in our shiur today, in our previous shiur, the Torah Kedoshah says Loi Sasuka Melacha Ata Avahemtecha, so it should be a lav. And if somebody does a lav b'mezid, he's chayiv malchus, as we learn in Masechta Malchus. Here there wouldn't be a chayiv malchus either, because Havalei Lav Shenitin Lasharis Misabezdin. We know that there's a rule, that the Torah, if it doesn't just tell us a pasuk to give us the punishment for an aveira, the Torah also gives us a lav that you're not allowed to do the aveira. The lav that you're not, the hashara that you're not allowed to do chil Shabbos, is the pasuk that we just quoted. Now, as we know, Rashi and Tosfos both explain, as we know that for most Melachos Shabbos, there's a Chiyuv Skila. So that pasuk that we just quoted turns out to be a pasuk that's giving us an ashara for which there's a chiv, there could be a chiv Mises Bezdin. And the Gemara Masech Makkos teaches us that any lav, any pasuk that is interpreted, is used to teach us that it's an ashara for which somebody can be chayiv misa, even if it's also including an aveira where there is no chayiv misa, as the Gemara is just suggesting now, mechamer doesn't carry with it a chayiv misa, that pasuk cannot be used to be an ashara that you should get malchus. So now we don't have a pasuk that's giving us an ashara that mechamer is chayiv malchus. So not only won't there be, says the Gemara, chatos or misa for doing mechamer on Shabbos, but because we're now lacking a proper ashara for malchus, there wouldn't even be a pasuk. And there wouldn't be an einish of malchus for doing mechamer on Shabbos beskila. And says the Gemara, v'afilu l'mandamar. Even according to the opinion of Yishmol in Masech the Makkos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that says Loikin, that you do get Malkus on a, for a pasuk that's also including an Asharis Mises Bezdin, still points out Rava in the name of Rav Yochanan, Lichter Rechmana, the Torah, when it spoke about this, should have said Leisasa Kamalach Uvem Techo. If the Torah wanted to teach us that we and our animals may not do malach on Shabbos, it should have said Leisas Kamalach Uvem Techo. Why did the Torah add Ata Lomeli? Why did the Torah add the word Ata? To teach us who need a mechayiv. If you did a malacha, you will be chayiv. However, behemtoi, if you did a malacha through your animal, loy mechayiv. Says the Ramban that the way we understand is since this malacha is a malacha that's not done by one individual himself, rather it's a combination of the person and his animal. So the way I understand the Ramban, it's similar to what we've learned more than once in our Masechta, where Shtayim Shesua, where Malacha is done as a combination of two, that's not considered a Malacha, or it's not considered certainly a Malacha for which there would be an Einish. So we learned in the Mishnah, Higiel Chatzar Chatzayna, we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody reaches the outer courtyard of the city, and he was stuck on Shabbos, he got stuck as Shabbos comes, and he therefore had a right to continue allowing his animal to carry whatever objects it was carrying. He could take off the objects from the animal on Shabbos. However, if the animal was carrying items that were muksa, he can't move them himself. Rather, he undoes the ropes that hold them fastened to the saddle, and they fall down on their own. Amar Rav Huna, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Hoyser behemta tuna kelich schuchas, if his animal was carrying glass utensils, and if you're just going to, and the, obviously the concern is that it's just, if you drop, they're going to crack. The halach is, maybe karen v'kastas, you could bring pillows, blankets, u'meniach tachdem, put them there, u'matach avolam, open up the ropes, v'sakim noiflim, and the sacks will fall on them and not break. Ask the Gemara, then we learn in our Mishnah, glass utensils are a muksa. So why do we have to come up with this plan to have the pillows and blankets and they should fall on them? You could just take them off. They're not muksa. Answers the Gemara, Kikam Rav Huna. What was Rav Huna referring to? Karna de umla. Such pipes that were used by bloodletters, delay chazile, which obviously cannot be used on muksa. And therefore, since they can't be used on Shabbos, they're muksa. So the Ramban explains that this is going according to the opinion of Yehuda. They were full of blood, and because they're full of blood, they're muksa machmas mias. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that muksa machmas mias is muksa. But then the Ramban says that even Rav Shimon, who throughout our Masechta we've been learning, has a more lenient approach towards muksa. He's only lenient by something that's usable. But these kalim are so dirty, they're full of blood, that nobody's going to use them for any other purpose. Even Rav Shimon would agree that the muksa, that this type of muksa, machmas mias, is muksa. And the Ramban goes on to explain, we can't say it's a klishe malach de lisser, Because if we would say it's a kli shemalach d'lisser, as we've learned many times, a kli shemalach d'lisser is permissible to be used, to be moved, l'tzarech gufa mekaymai. So we would come up with a way of being able to move it. So therefore, we're going to have to say that it's a muksamach smiyas, and it's such a muksamach smiyas that everybody would agree it's muksa and cannot be handled. But ask the Gemara, but there's another problem. By allowing them to fall on the pillows, then you won't be able to move the pillows anymore. And we learned earlier in our Masechta that you're not allowed to be mevatel kli mechanai. Answers the Gemara, we're talking here about shlifi zutri. We're talking about small pipes, and therefore they could easily be rolled off the pillows, and therefore it's not going to be mevatel kli mechanai. They're not going to be stuck on those pillows all of Shabbos. So we learned earlier, and we learned this concept of mevatel kli mechanai more than once in our Masechta. So Rashi here explains, Rashi Devar Maskel Chom Kevatel, explains that what is the Isser? That it's Soyser. It's Soyser a kli. By making that pillow should be stuck there for the entire Shabbos, that's called Soyser, and make it non-usable. Tosfos asks that earlier in our Masechta, on Daf Mem Beis on Mebeis, Rashi explains that Mevatel kli mechanai, the Isser is Boina, because it's you're making it be there all the time. So what is it? Is a mevatel kli mechanai? Is a mevatel kli mechanai soiser, or is mevatel kli mechanai boina? So Pnei Yeshua answers: it depends on the circumstances. Early in the Masechta, when do we speak about mevatel kli mechanai? When you put a keli to catch the oil that's dripping, a keli is meant to catch things that drip. So you can't call that soiser. It can't call that you broke the use of the keli. For on the contrary, you use the keli for what the keli is meant to be used. So that's not called soiser. But boina, so that's why Rashi says it's called boina, because you make that the keli should be there for the entire Shabbos. Whereas in our Gemara, pillows and blankets are not meant to be used to be there all Shabbos. And pillows and blankets are not meant to be there all Shabbos to have your pipes of bloodletting on. That's why it's called soiser. So in other words, the Pnei Yeshua says we have to look at every situation individually. I saw the Rav Tzvi Kishelevsky Shlita discusses the following situation that he saw by his yeshiva. He says that there's a garbage can on wheels, and Erev Shabbos was completely emptied out. And if on Shabbos, how could you put in Shabbos muksa diga garbage? Isn't that considered mevatel kli mechanai? When it was empty, it was movable. And now it's not movable. Why is there no concern on mevatel kli mechanai? So he quotes the Pnei Yeshua that when we speak about mevatel kli mechanai, we have to look at what is the purpose of that keli. And like the Pnei Yeshua said, a keli that's meant to catch oil, there is no issue of soiser. When you're using the keli for what it was meant to use for, it can't be considered soiser. Here too, if the place of the garbage is, that's what the garbage is supposed to be done for, then that's not considered mevatel kli mechanai, not soiser, because you're using it for a purpose. And also that it's not considered boina, because it's not meant to be there on a permanent basis. It's on wheels. So it turns out, since it's not meant to be there on a permanently, then it's not soiser and it's not boina. So the Gemara said, ha-mevatel kli mechanai, while it's there. And the Gemara says, it's not mevatel kli mechanai, because you could easily shake them off because the shlifi zutri. So there's a question that the Paiskim, this is the way I always understand this Gemara. But as long as the kalim, which are muksa, which we explained, the muksa machmasmias, are on these blankets and are on these pillows, they're a basis l'davar aser. So why is that permissible? I created a basis l'davar aser that I should not be allowed to move. So the way I saw that the Achroinim explained this is, as we've always discussed when we speak about Hilchas Muksa, the primary defining moment of when something is or isn't considered Muksa is Bein HaShemashos. Here, Bein HaShemashos, these kalim were not on the pillows and blankets. So yes, the halacha is that if it becomes a basis l'davar asur on Shabbos, I always use this example. We know, we always speak about the example that if you want to avoid your table that you put your Shabbos candelabra on from becoming a basis l'davar asur, what you need to do is put on your table chalas, a sefer, whatever, so it should be a basis l'sav heter. And therefore, since by Bein HaShemashos it was a basis l'sav heter, then on Shabbos, you'll be able to move the table. But what's going to be the halacha? You indeed need to do that. And you put on your table the candelabra, you put on your table the chalas, and everything fine and well. And then Shabbos, whenever, Friday night, Shabbos morning, you take everything off your table, and the only thing you have at that point on your table is your candelabra. You're not going to be allowed to move that table. Even though Bein HaShemashos was a basis l'sav heter, but now when you want to move the table, it's only a basis l'davar asur. You're not allowed to move something which is purely a basis l'davar asur, even though it only became a basis l'davar asur during Shabbos. But even though that is clearly the halacha, that you could not move the table when it's purely a basis l'davar asur, it's a much weaker basis l'davar asur than the standard type of basis l'davar asur, because it only became a basis l'davar asur on Shabbos. And therefore, in this case as well, since it became only a basis l'davar asur during Shabbos, when these pipes fell on them, and there's something that could easily be shaken off, it won't get the halacha of a basis l'davar asur, and if you shake them off, they'll be acceptable. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in a Braisa, Haisa behemta tuna tevel. If your animal was carrying tevel, which of course is muksa, or shashas glass bars, the halacha is, mater is a chavolim. You're allowed to open up the strings, the sack and neuflim, and the sacks carrying these different items, neuflim. Vabisha mishtabrim, even though they break, it doesn't. That's what's going to happen. But why? Why doesn't the Braisa give us the same advice that Rav Huna gave us? Put under it these pillows and blankets. Answers the Gemara, Hasan Bekulsa. They're talking about glass bars, which are too large to be rolled off onto pillows and cushions. So therefore, if you can't roll them off, and like I just explained, the only reason you could let them roll onto the pillows and blankets is because you could shake them off. But if you won't be able to shake them off, then you have no right to let them fall onto the pillows and blankets. And says the Gemara, Dekanami the Tani, Dumi the Tani, we're comparing the glass, Dumi the Tevel. Ma Tevel the Lechazale, it's useless. Avhochinai Lechazale, they're useless, and therefore the Muksa. Says the Gemara, what did the Braisa mean? Apisha Mishtabrim. On the contrary, if they're going to be broken, I should be allowed to maybe be Makel, because I want to save the glass from getting broken. Answers the Gemara. The Braisa is teaching us, even though they're going to break, it really doesn't bother us. And the reason it doesn't bother us is because these big glass bars are meant to be broken. So, but we would think, they're not going to break exactly the way I want them to be broken. So it's a hefsed mu'at, and we therefore could be lenient, as we have been many times in Hilchas Muksa. Kamash Malon, that since it's only a hefsed mu'at, Chazal were not lenient, and they said that you have to let it fall. You have to let it fall on the ground. You can't use the pillow and blanket because there's going to be no way to shake it off. And we therefore, and the hefsed is only a hefsed mu'at. Let them fall and break. Tanya continues the Gemara, and we continue to discuss the different methods how we can let muksa fall off or not fall off an animal on Shabbos. Tanya b'shimon yichay oimah hayse behemta tuna shlif shel tefuah. If somebody's animal was carrying a sack of tefuah that you didn't take off tevel, manich roish tachta, he should put his head on the one end of the animal, umasalka letzad acher, and push it up over the side of the animal, v'nofel me'elov, and it'll fall off by itself. In other words, since you're moving it with your body, you're not moving it directly, as we've learned many times, tilt min hatzad, tilt the kalach yad, we're lenient. And tells us the braisa, chamarisha gamliel, ha'isatuna dvash, Gamliel's camel was carrying honey, and he didn't want to, and there was a question that he's not allowed to take it off, so he wanted to be super careful, and he didn't take it off until Matzah Shabbos, and by leaving this heavy load on the animal for the entire Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos Mesa, it died Matzah Shabbos, because it was just overheated and overworked. Ask the Gemara, v'nan t'nan, noitel kelim anitolim. If the animal is carrying something that is not muksa, there's no problem. So honey is not muksa. Answers the Gemara, the honey that it was be carrying was kehidvish. It was sour. And therefore, it wasn't usable. It was not muksa. So ask the Gemara, hidvish, if it already got sour, lamai chazi, why would you be transporting sour honey? What could you do with it? Answers the Gemara, it could be used lekissa de kamli. They would smear it on wounds that a donkey would get. Says the Gemara, so if that's the case, why did he not just open up the strings? V'yata chavolim, let him just open up the ropes. V'yiplu sakin, and let them fall. Answers the Gemara, if he would just let them fall, mitzru ziki, they would break open and the honey would just spill out. Ask the Gemara, but we just learned. V'yavi karmakastel, v'yaniach tachteim, why don't you just bring pillows and blankets and let them fall on that? Answers the Gemara, mitnafi, if you would let that happen, they would get, those pillows and blankets would get dirty. And there's another consideration that we learned early in our Masechta, and that is the consideration of kumavata kli mechanai. You're not allowed to make a keli on Shabbos be used for something that wasn't designated. And you can't use the pillows and pillows to have honey spill on them, mevata keli mechanai. Ask the Gemara, but what about the consideration of tzar bal chayim? Answers the Gemara, his position was, Kesavar, he held that Tzar Bal Chaim is the Rabbanon, and since Tzar Bal Chaim is the Rabbanon, we have no right to violate one the Rabbanon for another the Rabbanon. He held that it's only us. So ask the Ramban, that at the beginning of our sugya we learned, that when you let the glass keli fall on the kelim, there's bitl keli machana, but we said it makes a difference if there's a hefsid, a hefsid meruba, or not a hefsid meruba. So he explains the Gemara that he held that just like for hefsid meruba, we're more lenient than hilchas muksa, for tzar bal chayim, we could also be more lenient than hilchas muksa. But he held that since tzar bal chayim is only the rabbanon, and therefore since it's only a rabbanon, we can't be lenient at all. In Hilchus, it's not the same as a Hefsa Meruba, and therefore we can't be lenient in Hilchus Muksa. Says the Gemara, Abaye Ashkechei L'Rabba, Abaye once met Rava, the Kamashashalei Lebrei Agaba de Chamra. He was sliding his son up and down the back of a donkey on Shabbos. Amalei, so he asked him, Kamashtamashmar Bal Chayim, you're using a Bal Chai. And the halach is that you're not allowed to use a Bal Chai on Shabbos and Yontif. Amalei, so he says, Dodim Haim, I'm only working with the size of the donkey, and Tzar Dodim, like Gosba Rabbanon. I hold that on the Tzadim of an animal, there is no Issa. The Gemara Masechta Beya teaches us why you're not allowed to be Mishtamish with a Balchai on Shabbos, because Shem Yachtach Zmaira, if I'm going to allow you to ride an animal on Shabbos, you may come to cut off a twig, a branch from a tree, to hit it to make it go better. And that, of course, is a issa deraisa. So that's why they said that there's an issa shimush b'bal chai on Shabbos. So the question is, so the Magen Avraham in Hilchus Shabbos and Siman Shin Hei, Sefkatan Yud explains, that when we speak about osur l'shtamish b'bal chai, that you're not allowed to use a b'bal chai on Shabbos, we need to understand that they're two separate isurim. There's a chashash of riding on it, for as we just explained, Shem Yichatech Zmaira, you may come to cut off a branch, And there's another Isser, a general Isser, Isser L'shtamash Bal Chai. So asks Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if there's a general Isser, that you're not allowed to use an animal on Shabbos, so then why did Chazal have to make another Gezerah, as the Magen Avraham himself says, of Shem Yachtech Smaira, if there's a general Isser of Osel L'shtamash Bal Chai B'Shabbos? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says opposite. He says, actually, there's only one Gezerah. Osel L'shtamash Bal Chai. Why you're not allowed to use a Bal Chai in Shabbos? Because you're not allowed to ride on an animal, because Chazal were concerned, Shema Yachtech Smaira. However, once Chazal established that Osel L'shtamash Bal Chai, and the reason that it's Osel L'shtamash Bal Chai is because Shema Yachtech Smaira, Chazal said, Loi plug, we don't make exceptions. And even in a situation where there is no concern of Shema Yachtech Smaira, the rule remains the rule, and you can't be Mestamish Bal Chai. So Rabbi just said that there's a difference using the back of the animal or the side of the animal. Ask the Gemara, but not Temra. Where do we take this distinction from? The Tanan, because we learned in our Mishnah, Mat Chavolim Asakim Noiflim. You can undo the ropes, and the muksa items fastened on the saddle just fall down. My love, aren't we referring to sacks that are chever gulki, that are tied to the side, and you would need to lean on the donkey to get off those saddlebags, and yet we're being makel. Davalet stodim. Why? Because it's only the side of the donkey, and we're learning now, as Rabbi taught us, that the side of the donkey is no problem. Stodim like Gazru Barabonim, says the Gemara Loi. The Mishnah is talking about a case, Becheva Agavki, where they're not tied, they're only held together by a clasp, and you just have to free the clasp. The Loi Avet stodim, you don't have to touch the animal at all. Inami, Balachsa, they're tied together with a clip, again, not requiring you to lean on the animal in any way. Esvei, so Rava still holds that you're allowed to use the side of an animal. The Mishnah Masechta Sukkah discusses this halacha that you're not allowed to use mechubarim. Anything connected to the ground also may not be used on Shabbos Yontif. So now the question is, a sukkah. Where you have a sukkah, shtayim b'dei adam, two of the walls are regular walls, vecha b'ilon, and one wall is the tree. Sheira, it's a kosher sukkah, vein oilin b'yontif, but you can't enter into the sukkah on yontif. The reason oilin means entering the sukkah, because typically in those days, all the sukkahs were on the roof. So oilin, you had to go up to get into the sukkah. My lav, what's the case? We're talking about the chok b'ilon, that he carved holes into the tree and put planks into those holes to form a wall and then put the schach upon those walls. That's a case of tzadim. And yet we're saying that tzadim, when Chazal say something is osur, that you can't be mishtamish with a tree, even the tzadim are osur. Says the Gemara, Loi, it's talking about a case that Akfei le'ilon, he bent over the tree and the tree itself was the wall, v'anach sikach alavei, and he put the schach on top of it. And that's why it's not just the stodim of the ilan, it's the actual ilan, the kamishtamish b'ilan. Says the Gemara, if that's what you're explaining that Mishnah means, Yehochi, let's continue learning. Amos Sefer, the Mishnah continues teaching us, shlosh b'dei adam, three of the walls are man-made with v'ayachas b'ilan, and one is the tree, sheira, that is a kosher sukkah, and also online beyond. If you're allowed to enter into that sukkah on yontif because it has three walls without the tree. Ask the Gemara, either kafil ilon, if we're referring to a situation that how was the sukkah constructed, that you bent the tree over and put the schach on top of it, amai oilon biyontif. The fourth side is actual tree. That's called mishtamish b'mechubar. How can we allow you to enter such a sukkah? Elamai, you're going to tell me that stodim asurim. So by that, it's stodim, and stodim are asur. So ask the Gemara, saif, amai oilon biyontif. Why, when you have three man-made walls, and the fourth wall is made of the tree, it is made of the tree, and the tree is also no matter what, why could you go into such a, whether it's the tree proper or it's the tzadim, why could you go into that sukkah on yontif? Ela hasam, we have to be explained, begavza da achna. The fourth wall was formed from the tree itself, but it wasn't formed by bending the tree over. The Mishnah is talking about a case where a tree, where a branch has a lot of leaves on it, which can be used as a wall as it stands. And the schach rested solely on the three man-made walls and did not rest on the tree at all. To Ilan Gufa, all the tree serves is Doifim Ba'amud Shavye. It's only a wall and it doesn't support the schach. So when he makes use of the schach, he's not using the tree in any way. And therefore, you're allowed to enter such a sukkah. Says the Gemara Deikanami, that that's the proper way of explaining that Mishnah. The Tani, Kol Zeklal, Kol Ilosh Nitel Ilan, anywhere where the tree can be removed, V'Yichoy Lamed, and the Schach could still stand, only be Yontif. You can enter it in Yontif. Shema Mino, that we see that the last case of the Mishnah is talking about the case where the tree is not supporting the roof at all. So when the Mishnah speaks about a wall formed by a tree, is that the tree itself formed the wall. It's nothing to do with stadim or the tree itself supporting the schach or trying to make a difference between the tree or the stadim, because that isn't what that Mishnah is talking about.